Since 1941, Clarksville's most dependable radio station for local news, talk, sports. WJZM Radio.
The views and opinions expressed on the Rendezvous Radio program are intended to provide an inside look at the soldiers and missions of the 101st Airborne Division. Fort Campbell and the U.S. Army do not endorse this station or its advertisers. Endorsement should not be implied as a result of this program or its content.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen of Fort Campbell, Clarksville, Hopkinsville, Oak Grove, Woodlawn, Pembroke, Palmyra. Yes, and those listening beyond, you, my friends, are listening to Rendezvous Radio. Absolutely. Now, Rendezvous Radio, okay, if you've been in the dark for a little bit, let me tell you something about Rendezvous Radio, okay? It is the official show of the 101st Airborne Division Air Assault and Fort Campbell and is aired live every Friday from 1 to 3 p.m. Central Standard Time here at the WJZM Studios in Clarksville, Tennessee. I am your host, former sergeant, now private citizen, Joe Padula. And, not for nothing, I used to be a combat correspondent for the 101st Airborne Division, the Screaming Eagles. But now I am a civilian correspondent, relaying the soldier story to we the people. And I got to tell you, it has been nothing but an honor to do it. And kudos to WJZM and WVRY. Those are the stations that carry the show, 1400 AM WJZM and 105.1 FM WVRY. Check that out on the Tuesdays there. Yeah, absolutely. And I got to tell you, it really is has been nonstop storytelling. I mean, from the launching episode in October, I mean, you had the 101st band coming in here telling their story. All right, you had the first BCT, second BCT, third, fourth, fifth. All right. I mean, everyone's here. All right. The 160th SOAR stopped on by, told us a few things, what they do with their family interaction. You know, the Lifeliners, okay, the 101st Sustainment Brigade, and they recently won the best mess over there. Yeah, you know, that's always good for those calories. But and today's episode is no exception to the continuing of telling great stories, you know. And last week is a tough one to follow because last week was quite a show, you know, where we honored the our Gander Fallen. From that fateful flight, December 12th, 1985, where 248 Screaming Eagle soldiers, died. And the ceremonies were held yesterday at Fort Campbell and Hopkinsville. And not for nothing, you can always check out the pictures of what took place on the 101st Facebook page. They share all the brigade pictures from there, and I'm telling you, it was very, very humbling and moving to see. So definitely go on their Facebook page. If you haven't liked it yet, like it. Join the other 190,000 people who have liked it, all right? I mean, it's the 101st Airborne Division, very popular. And on today's episode, we got the first hour, which we focus on the division side, of the soldier side, okay? We have a very special medic coming into the studios, and I got to tell you something. It's quite the story, because not only the combat medic, okay, the story itself is unbelievable. It's moving. It's encouraging. It shows pride. It shows strength. It shows such bravery on and off the battlefield. The combat medics. Now, and what's special about this combat medic is she. I said she. That's right. She was a civilian medic first and goes, you know what, it's my time to serve, and I'm going to bring what I can offer to the Army table. And that's exactly what she has done here. And she's going to be coming in and telling exactly, what it was like on the civilian side, what it was like on the military side, and not for nothing, what it's going to be like here coming up, because she's got some pretty exciting news that she likes to tell us about, too. And, don't get me wrong, I think she's a Washington Redskins fan. I'm not sure. But we're going to find out. Because if she is, this might be a very short interview. Okay? This might be very short. But then after, in the second portion of the show, okay, the garrison side, we're going to be talking about winter safety. because it's cold, man. And I'm a Jersey, New York guy, and I'm down here, and I'm telling you, it's cold. I don't know what happened. Mother Nature. I thought I was in the South down here, but no. Mother Nature goes, oh no. It's cold down here too. So and with that, there's a lot of issues and concerns that have to be brought up. And have a pen, have some paper, have some notebooks. Take some notes, because we got some vital information for you, the listening audience out there. And then, of course, you know, our Fort Campbell Courier, okay? Great paper, the Post paper. And it has, once again, just like this show, does not fail in telling this soldier story. Yeah, and they got some great ones in this week's paper, which was released last night. Get your fresh copy. Still warm. Yeah, if you're cold, grab a warm paper. So hot off the presses. All right, but when we get back, we're going to get right into our combat medic story. Because, man, we talk about a lot of MOSs, a lot of military occupation specialties. And this job is more than just a job. It's a lifestyle. The combat medics, in my personal opinion, it's a certain breed of person that makes a great combat medic. And we're going to find out what goes into that formula. Yeah. So don't go nowhere, all right? It's another episode of Rendezvous Radio. I'm your host, former Sergeant, Mr. Joe Padula, here on WJZM 1400 AM and WVRY 105.1 FM. Absolutely.
WVRY 105.1 FM, Clarksville, Waverly. WJZM 1400 AM, Clarksville, Tennessee.
I am Sergeant Daniel Krupinski from Delta Company, 1st of the 101st Cav. Expect no mercy. You are listening to Rendezvous Radio.
Yes, expect no mercy. It's Rendezvous Radio, where we tell the real soldier story. And not for nothing, we got a real soldier sitting here in front of us. Hey, Sergeant, how you doing?
I'm doing real good today.
Let me tell you, it's awesome to have you in here, because, I read a story, okay? Master Sergeant Pete Mays of the 101st Airborne Division Air Assault, okay? He sent me this this link here to download, and it was a story about you, okay? And the story was from Bagram Airfield in Afghanistan, all right, where you were deployed to recently, right?
I was actually in Jalalabad.
Jalalabad.
Yes.
Nice. It's a lot of syllables right there. Yeah,
yes,
absolutely.
It is.
Now, in Jalalabad, I mean, and your Army career, you are a combat medic.
Yes, I am.
And, what goes into the job of a combat medic, also known as, to military personnel, a 68 whiskey?
Well, it depends on what type of unit you're with.
Right.
I've been really lucky so far in my career. My first duty station, I was in a support battalion, so I got to go to the field all the time in Germany. Seeing Hohenfels and Grafenwehr. Anybody who's been there knows that Rosie's Donuts at Hohenfels that's definitely the place to be.
Oh, das is good.
Oh, yeah.
She goes,
and,
oh, yeah.
You know, I got to work with a lot of field artillery units, infantry units, and be out in the field with them, and that was an absolute blast.
Right.
And I think that actually really prepared me for deployments. My second duty station was a MEDAC.
A MEDAC?
Yes, medical activity.
Okay.
It was a hospital. And, well, I really didn't like being a brick-and-mortar medic.
Right.
I did have some excellent leadership that taught me a lot about being a soldier and being a leader, which prepared me for coming to 217, I think, between those two duty stations. 2nd Squadron, 17th Cavalry Regiment. Give a shout-out to my leadership.
That's right. Of the 101st Combat Aviation Brigade.
Yes.
Wings of Destiny.
Yes.
Right. Oh, I love it.
217 out front. Really prepared me to get with that unit. When I first got there, my leader, her name was Sergeant Carrie Davidson. She set the tone for what, you know, we would be doing. She explained to me, you know, listen, this is how things run in an aviation brigade, and it's completely different than anything you've seen so far, and boy, howdy has it been.
Yeah, she was right.
Absolutely. She has been 100% right. But, you know, I've got 407 of the finest soldiers in the United States Army that I get to take care of every day, and best aviators, best maintainers, best cooks. I mean, we no kidding, have the best people in 217 Cavalry.
Well, yeah.
Out of the entire United States Army.
Yeah, you know, part of the 101st, of course. Absolutely. And we're not biased here. All right? These are just facts, okay? But before we get more into the combat medic and what you have done on and off the battlefield, okay, let's talk about you, all right? You as a person, okay? You, Lydia Johnston, okay?
Yes.
U.S. Army Sergeant Lydia Johnston, okay? What made you Lydia Johnston? Where were you prior to Sergeant Johnston?
I worked on a civilian ambulance for about 9 years before I joined the Army.
And that was in California?
Well, we call ourselves Southern Oregon, but yes, it was actually Northern California.
Okay.
Plumas County, up in the Sierra Nevada Mountains.
All right. Wow, that's up there.
Yes, it is.
Yeah, absolutely.
5,600 feet.
That's some good training right there for Jalalabad.
It was.
Yeah. Wow. Now, what made you become a civilian medic? A EMT? Is that what you're? Emergency medical technician?
Yes. I was actually, I went to college, Feather River College in Quincy, California, studying recreation leadership. My major was teaching people how to have fun. And
what?
No kidding. There is an MWR guy on the radio on this station earlier today. And that's exactly the type of job that I would have been doing, was what he does, is teaching people how to have fun, doing confidence courses and things like that.
Yeah.
Well, part of the major was you had to take the EMT class, and you had to pass it. You had to be a certified EMT.
Okay.
So
so you have to be an EMT to learn how to be a major and having fun.
Yes.
Wow.
Yes.
All right.
Well, because people get hurt having fun.
Okay.
So, you know, you got to be able to treat that.
That's right.
I was, of course, a poor, starving college student living on Pell Grants and loans and things like
right.
that. So I figured, I'll just get a job in an ambulance.
Dried noodles, of course. And now, your ambulance, I mean, who was the one that introduced you to working in the ambulance?
Well, my EMT instructor had said that he had heard that an ambulance company, which was 22 miles from the college, needed EMTs.
All right.
And suggested I go down. It was a hospital-based ambulance. He suggested that I go down there and talk with them. I talked with the director of nurses, and he hired me on the spot.
Oh, the DON. The
yes.
Don. Yeah, you
Don.
Talked to the Don. That's right. So you got hired on the spot.
I got hired on the spot. I started 3 days later. They bought me my boots, my uniform, and that very first ambulance call we went out on, I was so scared. But when we got back, the paramedic said, "You did such a great job." And I was like, "I took a blood pressure."
Right. Right. But you took it like no other.
I did.
That's right.
I did. It was great.
That blood pressure had no mercy. So there you are. You're paying for your college, okay? You're working hard on the weekends and learning how to major and having fun during the week. Okay?
Absolutely.
Absolutely. Now, college is over, okay? Well, fill us in.
I was on the 8-year plan at a 2-year college.
Okay.
Because I was also working two other jobs. I was bartending and doing housekeeping.
Wow.
So
you're busy.
I was very busy. And finally I got kind of tired of it after 8 years and feeling like I really wasn't getting much of anywhere. I'd heard that the Army could offer a job, a guaranteed position, and I went into the recruiter's office and I said, "If you can promise me that I can be a combat medic,
right,
then I'm going to join."
Wow.
And
where was the recruiting station?
It was in Susanville, California.
All right. Susie.
He said, so he says, "Well, we'll see how you do on the ASVAB." I take the ASVAB. I did pretty good.
ASVAB is the test that, potential and future soldiers take to see where they can be positioned in military occupational services.
Yeah, and they said, they sit me down and they said, "Well, we've got this 68 whiskey," or actually, no, at the time it was 91 whiskey, healthcare specialist. And I said, "Sergeant, I don't think you understand.
Yeah.
I want to be working in a hospital.
Right.
I want to be a combat medic."
There you go.
And he laughed at me and he says, "Actually, that's what it is. We had to call it healthcare specialist because people didn't like the word combat in their MOS title."
All right. Hey, you know, so there you are. And you go, "Okay, I'm in."
Yes.
All right. So you sign, you're in. Now, Where do you guys do your AIT? Well, where did you do your basic training?
My basic was in Fort Leonard Wood, Missouri.
Okay, nice. Good times, I heard.
Not really.
Oh, not really. I was told wrong. I was told wrong. So, you know, you do your 9 weeks, right? 9 weeks of basic training over there in Missouri, right?
Yes.
Is that what you guys call it?
Yes, it was Missouri.
Now, and your basic training is just like everybody else's?
Yes.
Right. You know, push-ups, running, screaming, the whole bit.
Absolutely.
Okay. No talking during lunch and breakfast and dinner.
Getting smoked, low crawling everywhere.
That's right. Well, not getting smoked, getting disciplined. Getting disciplined.
Physical discipline.
Absolutely. But then, okay, now off to AIT, after initial training.
Yes.
Okay, this is where each and every military job, okay, goes to learn the specifics of that job, okay, and start their foundation of that job.
Yes.
And where do the medics go for there?
Fort Sam Houston, Texas.
Oh, good. Even nicer.
Oh, College Town, USA. It was great.
Oh, I don't know nothing. I don't know nothing. But so Fort Sam Houston, okay,
yes.
Texas. Okay, you know, here you are, a very hot place during the summer and winter. Okay.
Oh, yes.
All right. Tune in next week to learn about winter safety. Okay, maybe we'll touch up on summer safety soon. But, you know, you got yourself, now how long is your AIT?
If I remember right, it was 19 weeks long.
So that's a decent length of training.
Yes, I was there from July to mid-November.
Wow. And that's the normal time for
yes.
for medics to training?
Yes, it is.
And what goes on during that training? What goes on during...
Well, the first part of it was absolutely boring bookwork, learning how to be an EMT basic. You have to be able to pass the National Registry so that you're a nationally certified EMT. Most EMTs, they just have a state certification,
uh-huh.
and they can only operate in that state.
Right.
National Registry, a simple test with the state. It's actually a very simple test, most states. And they'll say, okay, you're good to operate in our state now.
Now, so you pretty much already went through this type of training in your civilian side.
Yes.
And now you're doing it on the military side.
Yes.
And so all the military combats that are taking this are now officially nationally certified.
Yes.
So when they you know decide to move on from the military and back into the civilian world, they have this to take with them?
Yes, they do.
That is pretty impressive.
Yes.
That is pretty impressive.
The Army's awesome.
Right? You ain't kidding. You ain't kidding. Now, okay, so, you know, AIT, you're also learning, you know, what to do, care on the fire, the whole bit.
Yes.
Fill us in.
Well, we call that the whiskey portion of our training.
Uh-huh.
It's
whiskey is the Zulu language, okay, for military letters, okay? It is not the actual beverage, right?
Yeah, no, it's 68W. Is title of our MOS, or the code for our MOS. And so we just say whiskey.
Yeah.
So the whiskey portion of the training, once everybody is nationally registered as EMTs, then we get to strap on all of our TA-50, hobble out to Camp Bullis.
Yeah, all the gear.
Oh, yeah. And we get to render care to fake patients with all kinds of moulage and just have a really good time pretending
yeah.
to be combat medics. And once that's all said and done, wash everything off, turn it in, and go on to your first duty station.
What was the male-female ratio? Because I've noticed throughout my Army career, many medics, okay, there's a large female, you know, population within the medic department. You know, would you say it was about 50-50?
Actually, in our class, it was almost perfectly split.
Okay, all right, there you go. Now, with all your training now, okay, your 19 weeks of just AIT in it, all right, you know, becoming whiskeys, now you're certified.
Yes.
Okay. Where's your first station at?
It was the 123rd Main Support Battalion of Dexheim, Germany, Anderson Barracks.
That's
first
right.
Armored Division.
Das is good. And Das is cold.
It would. Oh, my goodness. We had about 5 days that... our post was actually shut down. We were stuck in the barracks. We were allowed movement to the DFAC.
All right. That's right. Where you get some warm chow.
That was about it.
Yeah. Now, we're about to go to break here, but when we get back, we're going to, you know, now that you're an official medic, okay, and there's so many medics out there, And one of the most important jobs out there, okay? One of the most important supporting mission, and it's that they are everywhere. They are assigned and attached, and we're going to learn how they learn to train for each assignment and each attachment, because there's so many different jobs in the medical world, you know? But before we do go to break, you're from California. Why are you wearing a Redskins jacket?
Because 22 years ago, they won the Super Bowl, and I won $100 off them.
So, because of illegal gambling, okay? So, because of your I'm calling the cops, okay? Unless you wear a Giants jacket.
Statute of limitations has run out.
Oh, that's right.
That's right. She can wear the Redskins jacket.
John Michaels, operations manager, running in. How you doing, John?
I'm doing good.
John, let me tell you, what do you think about the medics, man?
That's great.
You know? Unbelievable.
I love the story.
Absolutely. And we're going to hear more of the story here coming up soon, right
ready
after
for
break.
It.
Yeah, me too. So don't go nowhere, okay? We're hanging out with a combat medic, okay? Sergeant Lydia Johnston, okay, from the 217th. And man, what a story already. We're not even into it. It's already a good story. So don't go nowhere. It's Rendezvous Radio right here on 105.1 FM, WVRY, and 1400 AM, WJZM. Absolutely.
WJZM Radio, Clarksville, Tennessee.
I am Specialist Christopher Mueller from Delta 1st 101st Cab. Expect no mercy. You are listening to Rendezvous Radio.
Yeah, sounded good. That's right. I love the intros. And those are the intros of you, the soldiers out there, listening in. And you can always listen into previous episodes as we rebroadcast them through our Podomatic site, okay? And that is on, you type in www.airstrike.podomatic.com, all right? It's so easy. And then bada bing, bada boom. And it's Airstrike for a reason, because the original show was Airstrike, and now it has turned into Rendezvous Radio. And man, I got to tell you, you know, I'm glad it did, because the stories that come from the 101st Airborne Division and Fort Campbell and the surrounding community and all the don't get me wrong, it's not just about the soldiers. It's also about the soldiers' family, okay, the service member, the Army community. All right, it is an honor and not for nothing the duty of the 101st Airborne Division, Fort Campbell and Heartland Radio, 1400 AM, WRV and 105.1. To relay that story. And today's story is the combat medic. How you doing, all right, Sergeant?
Doing all right.
Man, you know, Sergeant Lydia Johnston, hanging out with her illegal jacket. Nah, I got to tell you, you know, when we left off, we were talking about, now you're, you just got done with your civilian side, you joined the Army because, you know, you wanted that guaranteed combat medic job.
Yes.
And you got it.
Well, yes, I did.
No, you didn't get that. You got the healthcare specialist job. Okay, which the same thing, just sounds smoother. Yeah. And then, AIT, not a problem. How'd you finish in AIT, all right? Top of the class?
No, not the top of my class.
No, you weren't like the first sergeant, the student first sergeant?
Oh, no, I tried to fly as low as possible.
All right, fly as low, okay. But you made it through.
I made it through.
That's right. Now in Germany, all right? Your first duty station, here you are, okay? You're ready to be a combat medic. You're looking for that first drive again where you're going to check that blood pressure, right? How's it go?
Well, when I showed up to my duty station, I had somebody who was very enthusiastic about the 123rd Main Support Battalion.
Okay.
And so she was an exceptional person to have as a sponsor. Get out there, taking me around, introducing me to people. I get to meet the sergeant major. I get to meet the battalion commander before I get to meet my chain of command. I get brought in, meet my first sergeant and commander, and get told that I'm going to be in evac platoon after they found out my prior experience of working on an ambulance.
Evacuation.
Yes.
Right.
There are two platoons in... Actually, well, there's three. There was headquarters platoon, there was evac platoon, and there was treatment platoon.
So, in the, you got your evacuation team.
Yes.
You got your treatment team.
Yes.
And your admin style team.
Well, admin, medical equipment maintenance people.
Okay.
That type of thing.
And that's what makes up a medical company.
Yes.
Okay. So, and now you're a part of the evacuation process.
Yes.
All right.
I was told that I was going to be an evac platoon. I was told I was going to get a battle buddy. I was going to get an ambulance that I had to sign for and all the equipment that goes into it. And they said, oh, and by the way, your truck is down in the junkyard. You're going to have to make it fully mission capable in 2 weeks.
Here's the keys.
Yes.
Congratulations. Welcome to the Army.
So my first couple weeks in the Army, I was a medicanic.
Medicanic?
Medicanic, yes.
Is that an official MOS?
I've made it official.
Okay, that's what I'm saying. Medicanic. I like that. That's
my brother,
good,
my brother Josh Conard, he can vouch for me.
Okay.
He's right here in the Clarksville area, as a matter of fact.
John?
Josh.
Josh. Hey, Josh, how you doing? All right. Josh, call in. Let us know what's going on. And if you guys want to call in, join the conversation, 931-645-6414. That's 931-645-6414. And there you are. Okay, so you get everything up and running. Okay, and you're doing your thing, and you're now being an Army medic. Is it what you thought it would be?
No.
Okay. Do tell.
Well, I knew about the swoopy cool trucks and you know, the uniforms and I knew what I saw on TV as
right.
far as medics and everything. I never expected what would normally be a 3-hour drive to turn into a 12-hour convoy.
Uh-huh.
I never expected to be that cold in my life.
Right.
There was a really big learning curve.
Right.
You know, I was actually 30 years old when I went to basic training.
Nice.
So I had quite a bit of life experience and being the adult and then having to go to PFC and my squad leader and platoon sergeant were younger than me.
Right.
So it was a really huge learning curve. I really had to learn how to be humble and be a sponge. I had to learn things.
Yeah, absolutely.
And
you were able to be a sponge and absorb the information, correct?
Yes. At first, there was a lot of resistance. I was,
of course, you're 30 years old and proud, and
yes.
I've done this already.
And
right.
there was a few times my squad leader had to pull me off to the side and say, hey, listen.
Yeah.
Rank has its privilege.
That's
and
right.
You don't have the rank for the privilege.
You know, right. And here you are going through the learning process.
Right.
So you know all the information. As you rise up in rank, that you're able to distribute that experience in the Army, you know, down to your next level soldier. And
yes.
I love the process. It works.
One of the things that he taught me, Sergeant Gonzalez, he taught me that if I would be more humble,
uh-huh.
that people would be more willing to listen to me. And so I decided one day, you know, we're out there in Grafenwehr, and I'm helping out in the aid station, even though I was in evac platoon. But the PA, the physician's assistant, he identified right away that I had a little bit more knowledge than the average bear and asked me if I could help out with some of the soldiers as far as screening procedures. And I said, sure, not a problem. And I tried out what Sergeant Gonzalez had told me. I was humble.
Right.
I was respectful to those who outranked me.
Right.
Even though I didn't like that they were so much younger than me. And people, I saw right away that people were way more receptive to what I was trying to say. And ever since then, I tried to be humble to anybody that I talked to, regardless of rank.
To get respect, you must give respect.
Exactly.
Right. Absolutely. Now, here we are. Okay. Germany. All right. You're paying your dues.
Oh, yes.
Paying your dues. When you come back to the States?
It was December 2007.
Okay. And you come back to what unit?
Carl R. Darnell, Army Medical Center, Fort Hood, Texas.
And this is where you learn your hospital portion of the combat medic side of the field.
Yes, brick and mortar.
Brick and mortar. Yeah. Now, here you are. Okay, you now got your infield and you're, you know, shoulder-to-shoulder training with your soldiers. And now, okay, now you have to learn, some of the other sides of the job.
Absolutely.
What goes into that?
Well, Darnell Army Medical Center, they have exceptional care. They have exceptional soldiers. They have exceptional civilians. They are, man, I can't even think of the words to express that place.
Now, this is like a real hospital.
It is a real hospital.
Like Blanchfield Army Community Hospital, but just there, Blanchfield Army Community
yes.
Hospital. Okay.
when I first got there, I was assigned to the Family Medicine Residency Center.
Oh, the Frickmer. Right.
The
Frickmer.
We'll call it that. Sure.
Yeah, the Frickmer.
they had a... It was all the Army doctors that had just graduated medical school. They have to go through 3 years of residency. And so they would work in my clinic. And it was my responsibility to make sure that they had all the books that they need, all the supplies that they needed, to make sure that patient care was being done properly in that clinic, to make sure the nurses were doing their job, the residents were doing their job, all of my civilian staff, make sure everyone was doing exactly what they were supposed to. Well, when I first got to the clinic, they were less than 50% in compliance with Joint Commission standards.
Okay.
And it mostly had to do with documentation. It's not that anybody was doing things wrong. It's that the previous NCUIC wasn't holding on to papers that he was supposed to.
Yeah, you got
to
hold on to papers.
Oh, yeah.
Get that.
7 years.
Oh. Yeah, good. So hold on to them for 7 years, right?
Long time. And so I got everything. I got us back into Joint Commission standards after I went through a Connex full of boxes.
Uh-huh.
You know, the Army song. The Army's, what would be, the bane of my existence as a soldier in the Army. Load the Connex, unload the Connex.
Yes.
Yes.
That's how it works.
Everybody knows that.
Oh, yeah. Especially when we're loading and unloading Connexes.
Over and over again.
Over and over again.
So I found all the documentation. I was able to get everything back into compliance. We actually went up to 99% in compliance with Joint Commission standard, and I get called up to the Command Sergeant Major's office of the hospital, and he says, "Well, I'm interviewing for an NCUIC position." I said, "Really? Where?" And he says, "For me."
Excuse me?
He wanted me to be his administrative assistant.
At the hospital?
At the hospital.
You take it?
I was a specialist.
Did you take it?
Yes, I did.
All right.
Actually, well, I didn't have a choice. I was voluntold.
That's right. That's right. When a sergeant major asks, that means, hey, guess what you're going to be doing? Okay?
Exactly.
So now here you are, okay, more admin side and everything. Do you have the feeling? Do you have the urge? Do you have the taste to go back to get your hands dirty again?
Absolutely.
And don't get me wrong. There's nothing wrong with doing the admin side and doing the hospital side. That part of the fight is a necessity just as much. Absolutely. Because I'm sure you're very busy over there.
Oh, yeah. It was actually busier working for the sergeant major than it was running a clinic.
Right. Oh, yeah. I'm sure. Now, we're going to get ready for break again, okay? Because now you got this urge to get dirty again, okay? And you go, where's the best place to get dirty? And somebody goes, hey, go to Fort Campbell.
No, I got into AKO and I went into my requisitions and I chose 217.
There you go. She wanted to be here. She goes like this. I've had enough. I want implementation of what I've been using. And bam, what better place to implement such great training that the Army provides? The 101st Airborne Division Air Assault.
Absolutely.
Absolutely. We're going to go to break here, but when we get back, we're going to talk about you entering the gates. Gate 4, right? Your first entrance through Gate 4?
Yeah, I went through Gate 4 the very first time.
And your first feeling, seeing old Abe and all those great units along that wall, what do you say? Was that a brick wall?
It's a brick wall.
That brick wall of Gate 4 and the lights hitting it, and you're like, wow. And then they go, let me see your ID. And you go, oh, I dropped it. It's in the seat. I hate when that happens. But when we get back, it's more with Sergeant Lydia Johnston. She rocks. You friggin' rock. You know that?
Thank you, sir.
You're awesome. Nah, call me Joe. Call me Joe. It's Joe Padula, Rendezvous Radio, WJZM 1400 AM and 105.1 FM, WVRY. Absolutely.
WVRY 105.1 FM, Clarksville, Waverly, WJZM 1400 AM, Clarksville, Tennessee.
I am Sergeant John Hale from Delta Company, 1st of the 101st Cab. Expect no mercy, and you're listening to Rendezvous Radio.
Yes, welcome back. You hear that royalty-free music. You know what that means. It's Rendezvous Radio, WJZM 14. I love that. John, could you pump that tune? John Michaels, Operations Manager. How you doing, all right, John? Yeah. I love that song. Yeah. Like, when I hear this song, you know what I think?
What?
I think about requesting It's for the Army to be stationed at Fort Campbell. Every time I hear that song, I want to go on my AKO, my Army Knowledge Online, which you can still go on today, right?
Oh, yeah.
Just you can't send mail? Is that what?
No, it's all Enterprise
now. Enterprise now.
Something like that.
Right. So every time I hear that, I want to go, yes, I want to be a combat medic over at Fort Campbell. Click. Enter. Send whatever it is. And then, bam, it happened.
Yes.
We're hanging out once again. We're back. Sergeant Lydia. Now, you got yourself your job. Your Fort Campbell job. What are your thoughts now that you're entering? You get to the unit. Now what?
Well, I knew that it was going to be fun. First get to the unit, people are wearing Stetsons, spurs.
Yeah.
Brown leather belts with great big buckles on them.
Part of the tradition in a cavalry unit.
Yes.
Yes.
I knew that it was going to be a lot of fun, and couldn't wait to get my first Stetson. And my sergeant, my NCO, she says, but our first priority, we have to unload these Connexes.
That's right.
Preparing for deployment.
Oh, so you get to the unit, and you're already going to be right in the action.
Absolutely.
Absolutely.
I had about 5 months with the unit before we deployed to Kandahar, Afghanistan.
Kandahar. Oh, yes.
Good times, good training.
And now, what year did you deploy to Kandahar?
That was 2010.
Absolutely. You know, let me tell you something. Kandahar in 2010 was the tip of the spear, okay, in the global war on terror, okay? And there you were in the thick of it. Now, before we get into Kandahar, you get to the units, all right? You're going for deployment. You're gearing up. How were they to receive you? Very receptive?
Very receptive. Everybody was very respectful. They asked about as far as, you know, my history in the Army so far. Explained the couple different units that I'd been to. Everyone seemed really excited to have me there.
Right. And of course, you're bringing a lot to the table. You're bringing now, okay, and I'm sure they knew this too, all right, civilian experience.
Yep.
You're bringing now field-trained experience, and you're also bringing the hospital experience.
Yes.
I mean, that's a lot of playing cards right there.
Wasn't quite combat trained at that point. I'd had plenty of field training, but no combat.
But now you're ready for it.
I felt ready for it.
You know, the only way to get combat training is to go to combat.
Unfortunately.
And you were definitely sent to combat in Kandahar, Afghanistan, 2010 through 2011. Absolutely. Now, you guys were stationed out of Kandahar Airfield?
Yes.
Okay. Now, the aviations, okay, they are the birds in the sky. Okay, and without the birds, let me tell you, mission is definitely different. That is for sure. Now, you get to Kandahar, you're deploying. What are you thinking doing this first deployment of yours?
When we landed in Kandahar, the very first thing that struck me as we got off the plane was, oh my goodness, what is that smell?
Right. Kandahar Airfield has what is known as the Poo Pond.
Calf Poo Pond actually has a Facebook page.
That's right. I have liked it. I have liked it, and I have shared. I have shared, but it is a Kandahar Airfield. Okay, is originally a Canadian built base. Okay, and has grown since its original existence, which was built right off of Kandahar Airport, International Airport, which at the time was a booming airport, but. The Russians took it over, as we know, through history, and that place has known nothing but war for the last 30 years, and Kandahar Airfield has been there for all of it, now a multinational ran post base, and you guys are sent over there. Now, you guys, what was your mission while in Kandahar?
Essentially, it was to take care of soldiers for Task Force Saber.
Task Force Saber, right.
Yes.
Absolutely. Now, what's some of the missions that you personally went on?
The only missions that I went on when I was in Kandahar was jumping into a Black Hawk and flying out to other FOBs to give out flu shots
right. And
teach Combat Lifesaver Refresher Course.
Yeah. It's very important stuff.
Well, it is important. I need to make sure that my brothers and my sisters are taken care of and... I definitely don't want them getting sick downrange.
Of course. Of course. Do you remember some of the FOBs, the forward operating bases and combat outposts that you visited down there?
My absolute favorite was Ramrod. They had no internet.
Ramrod. Yeah. Out in Maywand. Yeah, absolutely. Now, your mission, okay, and your medic's mission out there, okay, in Kandahar here, all right, and this was a, and this, you know, it still is, but it's definitely different now. Laden with IEDs everywhere in Kandahar, okay?
Yes.
It is, quote was described like fighting a ghost over there, okay? And all of, you know, the, here you are, you're on mission, the medical emergencies that you mostly saw, I mean, what were some of your processes that you had to deal with?
Well, fortunately, we were on a different side of the airfield from the Roll 3. So
Roll 3?
The Roll 3, that's the level of the hospital that was run by the Canadians and the Navy.
Okay.
The U.S. Navy. They ran the Roll 3. That's whenever somebody'd get medevac from further out, from a further outpost or whichever. They'd be brought usually to Kandahar because they had the X-ray, they had the surgeons, they
right.
had the lab, they had everything at the Roll 3. It's much like a medical center.
Yeah.
You know, a good hospital, like Vanderbilt as opposed to, the Walgreens clinic, I guess.
Understood.
So,
I mean, even to the fact that there was a TV show on ABC, I think it was, called Kandahar, Afghanistan?
There was.
Was it ABC?
I don't remember the...
The network, right. But
I don't remember the network, but there was about the Air Force PJs
right.
working out of there.
Right, absolutely. And and your deployment, it's very mission essential, the medics to the field, you know, and some of the other missions that you personally did. What's your biggest memory that stands out? Fondest, most, your saddest? What's the one that stands out the most for you?
The one that stands out, every soldier in 217 is already hurt. It's when I actually had to use my combat lifesavers.
Okay.
I was providing medical coverage for 217's Task Force Saber football team.
Okay.
It was flag football, and inevitably there was always an injury. And so we're at the boardwalk, which has it had a hockey rink, it had a football field.
Yeah, Kandahar Airfield was definitely equipped to for those who needed to get away from that combat outpost and forward operating base to come to Kandahar Airfield and maybe take a breath or two.
It was actually a very laid-back deployment compared to what it could have been for a lot of my brothers and sisters who were out there in other places. And I was sitting there with my aid bag and watching my guys play flag football, and the sirens went off. And I'm yelling and screaming at everyone, "Hey, listen, get to the bunker. You know, it's fine." And they're like, no, it's
the air raid sirens.
Right, right.
Because Taliban is now shooting in mortars.
Yes.
Right.
They heard one, two booms, and they're like, "Oh, no, it's okay." They were complacent.
Right.
And
not the place to be.
Yeah.
Never.
And so they started playing again, and I'm not going to leave them there. So I stayed, and then all of a sudden a rocket comes in about 30 feet over my head, lands 50 feet from me into the staircase in front of the Green Beans Coffee.
Right.
And there were four casualties.
Right.
And of course, they're screaming medic, and of course, you know, you've got so many different units there. There's a lot of medics there, but I was the only one with the aid bag.
Right.
And so I go running over there, and two of my guys, Specialist Bautista and Sergeant Rondon, they stayed right next to me, and they told me what they needed out of my aid bag based on how I had trained them as combat lifesavers. And the two of them provided life-saving care to those four casualties. Of course, I helped triage, and I helped with some bandages and stuff. One of the casualties needed an IV. There was a medic from another unit. She was having a real hard time getting the IV started, so I jumped on the other arm, got the IV started. And, I say that my CLS guys, my two combat lifesavers, they saved those four lives that night.
Right. Now, all that training, okay, all that civilian experience, okay, remembering your first ambulance ride, okay, to a blood pressure, for crying out loud. Now here you are, okay, you're running to the aid okay, of four people that just got hit by a mortar, okay, from Taliban fire. All right, what are the thoughts, you know, going through your head during that time, during the middle of it?
I don't know. I was in EMT switch right at that point. I had medic brain at that moment. It wasn't until the last casualty was being loaded into the ambulance to go to the roll 3 when all of a sudden I was back to being me. And I look down and I see the shell from the mortar, and I look at my buddy and I said, I think we need to find a bunker.
Right.
And we took off. And he still laughs about it to this day, because here I am with my 20-pound aid bag. And we're both trotting along down this alley to go to where we know that there's a bunker. And the sirens go off again. And this guy can run his 2 miles in 14 minutes, 50 seconds. And me, with my 20, 30-pound aid bag, I was keeping up with him.
That's what I'm talking about.
I was scared.
Well, understood. But when it was all going on, your training kicked in.
It did.
And without the concern for your own well-being, you ran, and you and your team saved those lives.
Yes,
absolutely. And for that, we say thank you. Thank you for what you do. Thank you for your service.
Thank you, Joe. Mm-hmm. Thank you for yours.
No, let me tell you, it was an honor to serve every day. And as you know, it's an effective thing to do. And I recommend it. I also recommend not to go anywhere, okay, because we're going to take a break here. But I want to say thank you to Sergeant Lydia, okay, Lydia Johnston, okay, of 217 Combat Aviation, and you guys are of the 101st Combat Aviation Brigade.
Yes.
And, man, Wings of Destiny. They're lucky to have someone like you that brings to the table civilian experience, field training experience, hospital training experience, admin experience, and now combat experience. And all that knowledge now gets to be passed along to soldiers underneath you.
Yes.
As man, let me tell you, what a story, you know? What a story you got. And to read more about the story, okay, the sergeant that originally wrote your story, okay, Sergeant, how you doing? What's your introduction? Introduce yourself.
I'm Sergeant Duncan Brennan. I'm from HHC 101 CAB, and I wrote the original story on Sergeant Johnston.
Yeah, I mean, fantastic. Fantastic. And where could they find the story that you wrote?
It's on Divid's Hub.
Divid's Hub. There you go. Spell your name out so they can...
D-U-N-C-A-N. That's my first name.
Right.
Brennan, B-R-E-N-N-A-N.
There you go, man. And I tell you, you read the full story, because it's great. It goes in depth, and I got to tell you, you know, fantastic. Fantastic. Divid's Hub. Check out all the stories on there. And we got to go, but when we get back, okay, we're going to learn about winter safety. Get a jacket. It's cold down here. All right? Sergeant, thank you so much.
Absolutely.
No, absolutely. Let's go take pictures. Yeah.
Sounds good.
It's Rendezvous Radio right here on WVRY 105.1 FM and WJZM 1400 AM. Absolutely.
I am Specialist Brian Oman of HHC, 1st and 101st CAB. Expect no mercy. You are listening to Rendezvous Radio.
Yes, welcome back, Rendezvous Radio. That's if you say it as you spell it, but it's Rendezvous Radio. That's right. Rendezvous?
Well, that's how I remember how to
spell it. Right.
Yeah, but it's Rendezvous.
Yes. Now, if you need to spell it, that means you're on Facebook. Go to the search box, okay? Type in 101st Airborne Division Air Assault. Look for Rendezvous. Okay? Because, you hear clicks, okay? From time to time, you hear clicks. Those are cameras, all right? Those are cameras. We're not chewing gum in here, all right? It's not that type of... I chew gum on here. Johnny's chewing gum over there. But those are clicks of the camera. You can check out all the pictures of what's going on right here in studio. You can put the faces to the voices. And I got to tell you, you know, the two faces that were just in here, man, Sergeant Lydia Johnston, great stuff. Thank you for sharing your story. Appreciate that. And not for nothing, we look forward to staying in contact and having you back in the studio in the future. Absolutely. Now, speaking of having back in the studio, Nandis Thurman,
hi.
How you doing?
Doing pretty good.
Fort Campbell Garrison, Public Affairs.
Yes.
Making it happen.
Always.
You guys are always busy.
Very.
Always. Well, what keeps you busy? Lately, anyway.
Ooh, lately?
Yeah.
Last week, especially towards the end of the week, was severe weather.
Severe weather.
Yes, the what ice storm.
What a segue. What a segue, Nondas, as if you were setting it up to introduce a battlefield weather forecaster.
Yes.
So, speak of the devil, Senior Airman Carla Granite.
Thank you for having me.
Let me tell you, it is great to have you here. Because, you know, people might be scratching the side of the temple going, did he just say senior airman? I go, yeah. Yeah, that's what I just said. Now you are assigned to Fort Campbell.
That's correct.
That is correct. As a battlefield weather forecaster.
Right.
Now, a lot of people don't understand or don't know that. There are Air Force personnel here at Fort Campbell.
That's right.
Do you know how many about? Or
I don't have a count. It's not just our weather unit. We also have special operations weather that does support for 160th. And also the 19th ASOS, which Air Support Operations Squadron.
Nice. And she took care of the acronyms. Yes. Man, making life easy. You're all right in my book, that's for sure. You friggin' rock. Now also sitting in on the panel, the Garrison panel, okay, is Danny Green, the Installation Emergency Manager. Okay, now, with that title right there, Installation Emergency Manager. That sounds like a very busy man right there. And that man, Danny Green, how you doing, sir?
I'm doing great. How are you, Joe?
Let me tell you, it's great to see you in here today, you know, and we're going to be counting your absolutelys on air. Is that what we're doing, John, right?
Okay. Absolutely.
Oh, that one. Ding. Ding. John trying to get down. Okay. Every time when you hear a ding, that means Mr. Danny Green, Installation Emergency Manager. I said an absolutely. Now, sir, some of the information that you have, okay, what would you like to share with us right from the start?
Well, the first thing I want to talk to you about today is winter safety.
Right.
We've been putting that out around the installation. Of course, we're not only concerned about the family members on post, but, you know, we have three-fourths of our people that live in the communities around the post.
Right.
And so I think it's kind of important that they know how to prepare for winter, have emergency kits, have a plan if something goes wrong.
And so, I have my pen and paper, and I'm ready to take notes.
All right.
Because me, you know, I understand, you know, when colder weather comes, you know, different styles and different actions and different norms have to change, you know, especially with the driving. And like you said, Fort Campbell has so many people on it, on and off, coming in and out, and it's very busy. And with that, the increase of people comes the increase of potential accidents. And injury. So what's some of the ways that we can do to prevent such accidents and injuries?
Well, the first thing that we're looking at more so is that I'm worried about the weather.
Right.
As you know, around here, you know, one of the things about being informed of what's going on is to know what weather hazards can affect you here. Here we're worried about tornadoes, ice storms, and I'll say that again, ice storms, because FEMA was here last week.
Right.
For 5 days, we were ready to support the state of Kentucky. So you've got to be ready for those type of power outages, trees falling down.
In which we had all of that.
It did affect some people. So
yeah.
Those are the kind of things we're looking for.
Right.
And having an emergency kit, because you've got to take care of yourself until that power comes back on.
Now, what goes in an emergency kit?
Well, so, you know, a lot of this stuff is, number one, you need to make sure you got water for everyone. And, of course, you know, they use bottled water now.
Yeah.
We used to tell people to use milk jugs, but now they've come up and say that's not a good idea. What you need to do is like the 2-quart soft drink bottles.
Oh, yeah.
Those out, fill them up with water, and put them in a place, and they'll stay good for up to 6 months.
That's what I'm talking about.
So you need to do that. You need to have your first aid kit.
Yeah, right.
Know how to use it. And, of course, if you've got special needs children or maybe parents in there, you got to be able to take care of them. Are there any particular medicines you need? You got to be able to have that stuff with you if you need it. Some other things we want you to have is flashlights, plenty of batteries, maybe wind-up radios, weather radios.
Yeah, the wind-up radios are fun to play with, too. You know what I mean?
Well, yeah, you can.
Yeah, that's right.
You know, absolutely.
When you got no power and you're bored. Absolutely. He said it. Is that two? Is that two times now? Okay. He's up to two. All right. So, let me back brief.
Okay.
Stay informed. Have an emergency kit. First aid kit. Okay. Special needs. Make sure you have your special need medicines and care. All right. And absolutelys. Make sure you have plenty of absolutelys with water.
That's correct.
I tried to sucker him into saying it.
I did not. Okay.
And some other things, though. You know, a lot of people have pets.
Okay, right.
And you got to make sure that you take care of your pet. And, of course, the first thing I'll tell you is you got to make sure you got water and food for them. But, you know, and also understand that when things happen, pets kind of react a little different.
Okay.
And I'm just going to tell you, know, it just depends on how they are. They get nervous. They seem to sense more than we do.
Right.
So you can tell that kind of stuff.
That's why I wear extra deodorant, by the way.
Absolutely.
Ding, 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 ding. There it is. That's three.
And
two more.
Course, you know what? We
two
want to
more.
Make
we
sure
got
that, that you've got sleeping bags and stuff like, you know.
Right.
Because if the power goes out and you're in a basement somewhere and you don't know what may happen, you may have to keep your family warm for a couple of days. And
yeah, sleeping bags, I'm in.
You need large trash bags. And, of course, this is used for a couple of things. Number one, if you're, let's just say you're trapped there.
Uh-huh.
And, of course, you can't get the restroom, but you can use it to store your waste. Regular trash. You can use a trash bag as a ground cloth. And there's plenty of days I wish I'd have had one out on the back 40.
Absolutely.
You can use it for waterproofing and hasty protection. So things like that is what you need those trash bags for. And, of course, some additional things you need to have is like that liquid hand soap.
I like the foam. You know the foam one?
It works.
Yes.
Absolutely.
Four. Four. We got him. One more and he's out. No, but speaking of out, though, we got to go to break here. But, man, let me tell you something, sir. You're providing a lot of information here, okay? And we're jotting down notes here, and we're going to get the notes to the 101st Facebook page. And maybe is there a page that you guys run or ways that they can get this information?
Well, yes. Normally, we start briefing this out to the spouses of the soldiers back, you know, at the information exchanges.
Right, right.
So if they need to get, you know, any kind of information like this, they can either go through NONDAS.
Yes, right.
Or you can get me, you know, on the AKO account.
There you go.
We can pull over.
A good website is safety.army.mil. It has
safety,
all sorts of different
safety.army.mil
for pretty much any of the seasons. You know, personal vehicle, safety.
Right.
All sorts of stuff.
Man, there it is. Safety.army.mil?
Yes.
Safety.army.mil?
Yes.
Sounds like a cadence. Safety.army.mil. Safety.army.mil. Yes. We got to go to break here, but when we get back, we're talking about all this emergency stuff, and we want to know, you know, what causes this emergency stuff. It's bad weather. Who knows better about bad weather than weather forecasters?
That's right.
That's right, she goes. Carla's going to fill us in on what goes on in her job position and the details of it. And I love it. You know, this is the first time that a personnel from the Air Force has been on the show. And welcome. All military branches, come on in.
And what absolutely. Do they
say? Yeah, absolutely.
Ding, 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 that counts. That counts. That's five.
Let's go to break. When we get back, more here at Rendezvous Radio, 105.1 WVRY and 1400 AM WJZM. Absolutely.
I am Specialist Kenny Rose with 101st Cab. Fake no mercy. You are listening to Rendezvous Radio.
Baby, it's cold outside. Mr. Green, you know that one?
I don't. Just listening. Absolutely.
Absolutely. There he is. Five. We got him. No, that was... welcome back. Welcome back to Rendezvous Radio. Yeah, I got to tell you something. You know, the stories that are happening right here at the WJZM studios in Clarksville, Tennessee, I mean, it's just fantastic. In the first hour, okay, we had a combat medic come in, okay, a civilian-trained medic who decides to join the military and goes, you know, I'm going to join the Army combat medic. And man, I mean, all the training that she got and then the implementation of that training and then coming here and sitting down and telling us about how effective it was and how it created this machine medic, all right, who just nailed it when it came to when she needed to do her job. Fantastic. Sergeant Lydia Johnson, thanks again for telling us her story. Yeah, we'll keep in contact and make sure you check out the story written about her, okay, on the DVID system there. But the second half so far, the garrison side of the story, NONDAS, How you doing?
Yes, doing good.
Man, we got some good ones here today, huh? We got some good ones. We got the emergency relief going on. Because, you know, Mr. Green, you came in here. You mentioned that FEMA was here last week. And, because terrible weather. There was terrible weather here. Those ice storms came and they didn't leave.
That's correct.
You know, and what'd you guys do to help battle the weather?
Well, what we provided for them was an installation staging base.
Okay.
And what they're looking for is, in the big picture of things, they're trying to find installations where they can pre-position, whether it be commodities or particular equipment,
right,
so they can support an affected area.
Right.
In this particular time, FEMA was really, they were proactive because they actually started coming in Thursday afternoon.
Nice.
And so they were already receiving generators, and that was the mission this particular time.
That's right. And the big storm hit that Friday.
That's exactly right. Right.
And it hit.
Yeah, so they were pre-positioned and ready to support the state of Kentucky because that's where they thought the storm was really going to be bad.
Right.
And everybody was kind of thinking it was going to be like 2009.
Right.
When we had that outage out for up to 2 or 3 weeks.
2 or 3 weeks.
Yeah. Wow. Up in some of the northern counties in Kentucky.
And then you mentioned all that time, outage-wise, and then you dispensed a whole lot of information. And once again, Nandis, where can we get that information done?
One good website is safety.army.mil, but any time that we've got bad weather coming into the area, whenever we get alerts or warnings, we post that to the Fort Campbell Facebook page as well to
right.
help get word out to the community, especially if there's going to be delays or closures or anything on the installation. That way people know what's going on.
You know what they need to make? You know, we mentioned the radio, the wind-up radio. They need to make a wind-up computer, okay? because then you can still access the Fort Campbell Facebook, But we'll work on that one day. Mr. Green, Danny Green, the installation emergency manager, mentioned on his first thing is to stay informed, okay? Be prepared. Stay informed. And the one who does the actual informing, okay, is Senior Airman Carlo. Now, what is your official title? Your job title?
My job title is a battlefield weather forecaster.
Battlefield weather forecaster.
Right.
Love it. I want that. I want that title.
Sounds intense and cool, doesn't it?
Like, where do we start? You know what I mean? Yeah. I'm ready to go to battle against the weather and the forecasters.
No.
Oh, you don't battle
no,
the forecasters?
No, we're all on the same
team. Oh, same team. Okay. But here you are. I mean, so the Air Force provides, Army installations across the country. Is that how that works?
Around the world.
Around the world with this type of position. And what is your what do you do for your job?
For the DEP 4 18th Weather Squadron, we forecast for Fort Campbell.
Uh-huh.
And we issue base warnings, and we let base management, emergency management, leadership, and public affairs by way of emergency management know what the weather conditions are going to be if they are severe, or if they're going to be severe.
How do you do it? I mean, what's your equipment that you guys use? I mean, how do you know?
Email. Oh, from where we get our data.
Yes, your data. Oh, I like
right.
that. She's official. I like it. The data.
That's what it is. We pull it from, we have military weather tools that we use, Air Force weather, Navy weather. Those are the two.
It's got to be some cool tools, right?
It's a lot of stuff that a lot of people wouldn't get. A lot of graphics and lines, satellite imagery,
right.
radar are our best tools. We also use the National Weather Service data, and some places have universities that have meteorological programs that we pull data from also.
Wow. Like, everyone sees it on the TV, the weatherman comes on, right? Oh, she smiles. She smiles.
I get that a lot. Everybody asks, are you on TV?
Right, right. No. We want to put that misconception to bed, all right? So here you are. You're not a Al Roker, right?
Right. No.
Right. You are not Al Roker. Okay, good. Because that was one of the questions on the Facebook. But you got... now, here you are, okay? You're getting all this information, all this data. You're collecting it all. You're piecing it all together. And you're pretty much using that to make predictions?
Right. Well, it's an interpretation of everything that we pull in.
Okay.
From all the way from 30,000 feet up in the air, everything that comes, weather moves west to east. So we pull everything, we analyze it.
That's a fact. What? West to east?
Yes, in the northern hemisphere.
Okay. See that? If you didn't know, north to east. West to east.
West to east, right. So we analyze and interpret everything that comes in. We put out, if there is in fact potential for severe weather, then we'll send it out to emergency management. We'll let base leadership know. that at a certain time frame, usually we like to do it 24 to 48 hours in advance or more. If there's potential, we can send out special weather statements 3, 4, or 5 days in advance to let leadership and emergency management know that this is a potential hazard for the base.
Right. Last week?
Right.
What'd you guys do?
Freezing rain. We sent out a special weather statement when we had not so much confirmation, but initial facts that pointed to a freezing rain event, which is definitely severe weather.
There
definitely.
You go.
Right.
You guys kept us informed.
Absolutely.
Absolutely.
So,
now,
go ahead.
Where are you from?
I'm from Lake City, Florida.
Lake City, FLA.
Correct.
Were you a weather forecaster in Lake City, FLA?
No.
Okay, no.
No.
What made you want to become a weather forecaster? In the Air Force, what made you join the Air Force to become a weather forecaster?
Initially, after high school, I just worked in customer service. I sold shoes. I was a waitress for a while. And I decided I wanted to do something different.
Right.
And Air Force seemed like the smartest way to go. I didn't want to go, you know, be a CB on a ship somewhere.
No offense to CBs on the ships.
No offense, no.
No offense. I love our naval CBs. Those are great.
I love the ocean of being from Florida.
There you go, right.
It's a great place to be. I just felt like the Air Force had what I wanted.
Right.
And I wanted to go in initially for satellite imagery analysis, something Intel.
Yeah, yeah.
And
also known as the S2 guys and gals in the Army, right.
Yeah. So the second choice was weather, which I got, and I still get to do my satellite imagery analysis. Just
nice.
The clouds, not stuff on the ground.
That's right. That's awesome. Where's some of the other places you've been stationed? Or
I was recently stationed at Camp Humphreys, Korea.
Nice.
So an Army installation.
How's the weather over there, all right?
Oh, winter is terrible.
Yeah?
Bitter cold. Siberian air. Heavy snow. They just got a really heavy snow event recently.
Yeah.
But it's a lot of fun. I loved Korea so much. I learned a lot. I took a Korean language course, so I can read it and write it.
Oh, yeah?
And speak a little, right, yeah.
How do you say it in... How do you say absolutely in Korean?
I have no idea.
Okay. We will find out when we go to break, which is now. Oh, look at the clock. We got to go to break here. But, man, that's fascinating. I love this position. I love this battlefield weather forecaster position. And not in the Army, that MOS. That or what do you guys call them in the Air Force, MOSs?
It's AFSC, Air Force Specialty Code.
Okay. AFSC. Right. It's a lot of letters. Wow.
Yeah.
All right. Go Army with MOS. But I got to tell you, you know what? Fantastic. Great information being dispensed here. We got more of it coming out. All right. So don't go nowhere. It's Rendezvous Radio on 105.1 FM, WVRY, and WJZM 1400 AM. Absolutely.
WVRY 105.1 FM, Clarksville, Waverly, WJZM 1400 AM, Clarksville, Tennessee.
This is PFC Venicia Smith with HAC First of 101st Cab. Expect no mercy, and you are listening to Rendezvous Radio.
Yes, welcome back. You heard her. It's Rendezvous Radio. The soldier story being told, the real soldier story. And today, as predicted, another fine episode being aired live, and telling what's going on for weather, okay? Predicting what happens, okay? Is part of the battle against bad weather and terrible conditions, because if you're in a situation where you're not prepared to drive in bad weather, if your power goes out. And I would like to add to your list there, Mr. Green, that you were presenting. If there is an ice storm, okay, don't buy a Mustang with rear-wheel drive, okay? All right? I wish I had taken that note myself, okay?
This is experience, Joe.
Oh, let me tell you. You know what? Growing up in Jersey, New York, and I had the Mustang, you know, the Firebirds, you know, the Nissan 300ZX, you know, these rear-wheel sports cars, okay? Man, you know, don't do it. Don't do it. Be like Master P. Mays. Get that big truck.
That's right.
Get that big truck.
That's right.
That's the way to do it. But finding out about the weather, okay? Senior Airman Granite, how you doing, all right?
Doing good.
First name Carla. You are a forecaster.
Battlefield weather forecaster.
Battlefield weather forecaster. That's right. She goes like this. I'm not a forecaster. I'm a battlefield weather forecaster. That's right.
Right.
And that's right. Now, what do you want to, as your career continues in the military, okay, you proceed, you get out. This information that you're learning here while in the service, okay, would you like to use it outside in the civilian world, and can you?
Absolutely. You can. I would like to, and you can.
Ding, ding.
Most National Weather Service employees have master's or a PhD in meteorology, and that's a totally different side of weather. We learn practical application to support the military,
right,
and the DOD. On the National Weather Service side, on the civilian side, they learn all of the mathematical algorithms and way super into physics, and it's super involved. It's way more involved, a lot more computer work. But what we do is more practical. What I could do if I did want to stay in the weather career field but get out of the military, I could go learn a little bit of broadcasting, and I could in fact stand up and just talk on probably on a local station.
It's time for you to reclass, you should reclass into public affairs.
Ugh.
Combat correspondence.
I don't know about that. I know,
yeah.
Nadas gets blamed for everything that happens everywhere.
That's all right. That's part of the job, getting blamed. But, there you go. The first hour of today's show, we kind of look at the opposite of that, where a civilian with medical training joined the military to receive military medical training.
Mm-hmm.
And, we look forward to continuing telling your story as your career progresses. And, thank you for coming in here today.
Thank you.
You know, and we'd like to thank Mr. Green here for coming in here today too, and the installation emergency manager, and go to those safety sites, because be prepared. It's the way to do it. Now, you guys don't mind sitting in the panel as we talk about the Fort Campbell Courier, do you?
Let's do it.
Let's do it. Yeah, absolutely. Now this, the Fort Campbell Courier, okay, a paper that you know very well.
Yes, I was the acting editor for about 6 months.
Right. How awesome is that job?
The writing for the paper is what I first did when I came to Fort Campbell.
Right.
I consider it to be a privilege to tell the story of our service members and our community. You know, you get to show through your eyes what it is that we do.
And Fort Campbell Courier, okay.
It's an award-winning paper.
It's an award-winning paper, and it's got the goods. It's
yes.
got the goods, all right? And you can get them at all over Post, all over outside of Post in your community, okay? And just look for the big green box.
Mm-hmm.
And if it's cold and you got your weather forecast and you're staying indoors and you got your wind-up computer, all right, you go online.
Yes.
Okay? FortCampbellCourier.com.
Yes.
So easy. It's the name of the paper.
Mm-hmm.
Spell out Fort.
Yes.
Right. Don't be lazy. Spell it out. FortCampbellCourier.com. And in this week's paper, what do you got, Nandis?
The top story for this week's paper was actually the Gander ceremony.
Yes.
That took place yesterday.
Right.
So.
Absolutely. And as we discussed the Gander tragedy last week, pretty much in full, by having Colonel Osteen calling in, who is the current Task Force Sinai commander. And then, once again, just want to give a shout-out to him and thank him for taking his time out to explain to us how important those who fell on that day are still, to those serving over there. And don't forget, there are service members still over there, 13 nations strong in Sinai, Egypt. And, our hearts and thoughts always go out to them as they are separated from their families doing the mission, And then we also had a phone call from Mrs. Sandy McCann, who her son died on that flight. And thank you, Sandy, for calling in. And we appreciate your support and your continued correspondence with the 101st Airborne Division.
Well, and I don't know if Danny is comfortable right now with speaking about it or anything, but Danny Green was actually a soldier with 2nd BCT when the crash happened.
Wow. I'll tell you, from one strike to another, sir, thank you for your Black Heart service. Absolutely. Now, 1985, December 12th, 1985, as we all know, what was the news like for the soldiers here at stationed here when first heard?
Well, it was really shock,
right,
and utter disbelief. I was the assistant adjutant down at the brigade at that particular time, and everyone was preparing to go down to the gym to meet everyone on the welcome back ceremony.
Right.
And we got the call. I was home. In fact, got the call early in the morning, said, "Need come on in." And, first thing I said, well, I can't say it on there, but,
right,
we've got to go in and find out what's going on. And, of course, once we get up there, we start seeing the manifest and stuff like that. So, yeah, that was a tough time.
Yeah, absolutely. And the
tough time.
The community came together during that time. As we know, the memorial services yesterday held in Hopkinsville and right here on post, or right there on post at Fort Campbell. I mean, the community still honors and recognizes those who were on that fateful day. And again, sir, thank you for your service to our nation and its people.
Sure. Yeah, you're welcome.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. What else in the Fort Campbell Courier?
See, one of the other top stories this week, I can get my... Well, they had the tree lighting ceremony.
Yes.
Which was supposed to be at the park right across the street from Division Headquarters.
Right.
But they moved it indoors to...
What do they call in that park? The center...
Liberty... No.
Yes, Center Park. So something to do with the center of the town. But this is like...
Town Center Park.
Town Center Park. That's it. Yes, Town Center Park.
Yes.
But they moved it indoors to...
Because of the weather.
Right. Yes, because Senior Airman Carla Granite goes, no. No. Wait a minute, you want to have this outside? No. Right. So thank you, Senior Airman Carla Granite, for saying no.
Right. No, any weather requests have to go up to the 6-star.
Right.
For approval.
The
right.
6-star.
Right. So if you want a sunny day, but there's rain on the way, you have to send it all the way up. He's up there with Santa Claus.
That's right. Santa Claus said, no, have it outside. 6-star goes, no.
That's what happened.
But beautiful ceremony, good times, and, very festive. And,
yes.
And 'tis the season,
Yes.
'Tis the season. Now, what else we got? I mean, because Fort Campbell Courier, not only does it cover the stories and the events that's going on post and around the community, but it also highlights community events, sports that's going on within the page.
Yeah, we cover soldier sports as well as the high school and the Fort Campbell swim team.
The swim team?
Yes. It's not a high school or a school team.
Right.
It's not sanctioned with anything in particular. It's a youth team. We have the Fort Campbell swim team.
Man, that's what I'm talking about. We're going to go to break here. But Pete, Master Sergeant Mace, how you doing?
Hey, right? Doing good.
What a day, you know?
Absolutely.
Now, Fort Campbell Courier. Absolutely. In Korean, it's
habit, I tell you.
In Korea, okay, it is pronounced, and we did our research, okay? In Korea, absolutely, actually, translates into Jo-de-jok-elo, correct?
Almost.
I'm working on it.
Probably not a direct translation, because from language to language, sometimes you lose the literal meaning, but...
Well, my dialect's Northern.
Right.
Yeah. Oh, wait, not Northern Korean. That's terrible. Never mind. Scratch that. We'll edit that out of the rebroadcast. I am not Northern Korean dialect. Oh, man, but we're going to go to break. But when we get back, okay, more with the garrison side of Fort Campbell, okay, because they got a lot of stuff going on. And during the holidays, I mean, there's going to be some closings going on and a lot of information that you, the listening audience, should really know and be aware of. So don't go nowhere. All right, it's Rendezvous Radio right here on 105.1 FM, WVRY, and WJZM, 1400 AM. Absolutely.
WVRY 105.1 FM, Clarksville, Waverly, WJZM 1400 AM, Clarksville, Tennessee.
This is 101 Cab, and you're listening to Rendezvous Radio.
Yes. Group. That was a group, shout out. Welcome back to Rendezvous Radio. And then they were starting a vehicle. Why? Because they were starting the vehicles early because they knew that the weather was going to be bad and they didn't want to... Right. Carla is looking at me like, listen, I know what the weather's going to be like. Now, I asked you off air, You know, just a setup, just to see. And welcome back, Rendezvous Radio. We're hanging out with currently the panel. You know, it's non-disturbing, Fort Campbell Public Affairs Representative. All right, Master Sergeant Peter Mays, 101st Public Affairs Representative. Doc, Mr. Green, how you doing? All right.
Absolutely.
Bada bing, and he is the emergency, the installation emergency manager, and also hanging out with very, very interesting, like. You intrigue me, okay? I'd never seen this MOS before. Never got to talk to anyone with this type of occupation, all right? And you are the battlefield forecaster?
Battlefield weather forecaster.
Battlefield weather forecaster. Man, and so people must come to you all the time, okay?
They do.
Be like, hey, Carla, I know you're off work, but what's it going to be like tomorrow, right?
Right. Usually I can tell people, especially if I've been at work all week, I know exactly what's happening, so I'll just kind of spew out something. It's going to rain, or it's going to be cloudy. Most people don't really care about what the winds are going to be like at 3,000 feet, because
right.
That's what we do for the pilots. We brief the pilots, and we let them
right.
All the way up in their airspace what's going to happen. But normal people, they just want to know how their day is going to be.
Yeah. And for that, get an app, okay? Get an app for your phone. All right, stop bothering Carla. She's very busy. All right, there's a lot of pilots out there that need her help. All right, but I got
to
tell you,
it's not just the pilots they do the weather for. When I was talking to her, I found out that they'll sometimes deploy
right.
with the brigades, and they'll help the brigades with weather information for whether or not it's just when they're training or when it's they're deployed.
Right.
Right.
Yeah. Absolutely.
Absolutely. We support 101st Aviation Division, Airborne Division. And we deploy with the units here, 101, 159. We go out to the field with them. We take our weather pods and our tactical weather observing stations, our tactical meteorological observing stations, TMOSs.
Of it,
to be
yeah.
accurate.
That's right.
And we go out with them. We'll set up our shop. We'll set up equipment. We'll get on the radio so everybody can have comms with us. And downrange, we do the same thing, weather support. They need it everywhere they go.
Carla, we got some events coming up. Maybe you can advise us, okay? And Mr. Green, if you can advise us also on, practicality during these events. Nadis, we got the EIB coming up, right?
Well, actually, it's ongoing right now.
Finalizing, okay.
Yeah.
So right now, the EIB, the Expert Infantryman Badge, okay? Bada bing, bada boom. Happening right now as we speak. Okay, I was going to ask Carla how they are right now, weather-wise, but I'm going to look at my app, and they're cold. They are cold right now.
You just have to step outside for that one.
Let me tell you, it is cold. And
that
Mr.
Right.
and I got to tell you, though.
I hope they have their snivel gear.
They are, I mean, the infantrymen of the 101st Airborne Division, these guys are amazing, and I loved being assigned to them and attached to them, and even covering the EIBs, they're doing something that's really proud for their MOS specific, and I wish them the best of luck. Go get that blue badge of happiness, I believe is what they call it, so go get it. Also going on is, tomorrow's a big game, right?
Oh, huge.
Huge. Army-Navy game.
Yes.
CBS, watch it. Tomorrow?
Yes.
Yes. Who are you rooting for, Sergeant Mace?
Really? You want to put me in the spot? No, I'm rooting for Army. Well, no Army beat Navy.
I'll tell you what. Carla, Senior Airman. Carla.
Yes.
Carla Granite. Who are you rooting for?
Army.
Oh, that's unfair.
Oh,
absolutely.
Oh, absolutely. Also known as, where's my Korean transition?
Okay, now also, if I can, I want to just put out that the 101st Airborne Division has put out an Army-Navy, Go Army Beat Navy Spirit video, which will be playing at the West Point United States Army Military Academy.
Awesome.
Great work with that.
Yes.
It's featuring the soldiers of the Air Assault School as they're going through their training, finishing up the 12-mile ruck march.
Yeah.
Also, some scenes of Zero Day and, of course, sling load operations and rappelling. Some great rappelling demonstrations going, Aussie rappelling in particular. Which is really, really cool, especially when they're going, head first.
Yeah, it is.
Onto the ground. So
yeah.
Awesome.
Oh, I see style.
That's awesome every time I see it.
Right?
Yeah.
Every time you see it, you go, oh, no. Oh, he's okay. Right. But yes, so watch that. Watch the video. And make sure you root for Army. And Navy, we love you. Don't get me wrong. But not tomorrow.
Exactly.
Big rivalry game right there. Who's the Air Force rivalry game in football?
Football? football. Yeah. Sports.
And sports, right. And,
sports are not my specialty.
I think it's basically all of them. The way it works out is that they're all playing for the Commander-in-Chief's Cup.
Okay.
So they play together.
So they all, like the Army, right, the Army, Navy, and the Air Force primarily will just go against each other for that. That is like the big Super Bowl ticket for them.
The Commander-in-Chief's Cup.
The Commander-in-Chief's Cup.
Makes me smile. Tomorrow is also combatives? Is that tomorrow?
It is going on now through tomorrow.
Oh, okay. And this is the Army. Army combatives, big tournament.
Yes.
And 101st has representatives within this tournament.
Yes, we do.
Awesome.
Yeah.
And not for nothing. We all know, if you want good Army combatives, you go to the 101.
Yeah.
I mean, just ask UFC. Just ask UFC. They came here. Man. And
I will not disagree with you on that.
And we'll find that result next week, perhaps?
Well, Fort Bragg has been already posting stuff of the preliminary.
Right.
Preliminary rounds.
Right, the prelims.
Yes.
The prelims.
Already and everything, and they've been, you can find it on Twitter and Facebook. All you have to search is for the hashtag Bragg Combatives.
Nice.
On either one, and you can find all sorts of stuff already.
And we will be posting photos as we get them from the 18th Airborne Corps.
Awesome.
To the division page as well.
On the 101st Airborne Division Facebook page?
Yes.
All right. Make sure that you check that out. Click like, okay?
Absolutely.
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 Oh, man. Right. I love it. I love it. Mr. Green, look what you started in here. Look at what you started.
He's pretty proud of himself for that.
I know. That's all I heard the other day when he came by my office. Absolutely.
Absolutely. John, maybe you can play a cadence of na-na-na-na as we go out.
Speaking of cadence.
Yeah. Oh.
Yes. I was here last week.
Yes.
Supposed to have a cadence for us.
Okay. We do have a rendezvous cadence. Okay. John's about to play it here. All right. And it's a cadence that we're going to end the show with. Okay. It's a very good one. Na-na-na-na. Na-na-na-na. Hey, hey. We're airborne. All right, and I got to tell you, the Today Show, what a variety, what a mix, okay, of not only just showing the human side of soldiers, okay, showing the real side of soldiers, explaining what the process is of their career, pretty much, and then the actual implementation in a combat zone of all of that training, and man, it works. The system works.
Well, absolutely. I mean, this is what this show is all about. I mean, yes, I say absolutely.
Absolutely.
But, I mean, again, I mean, really, it's about real soldiers, real stories. I mean, that's what Rendezvous Radio is all about. So,
Real soldiers, real stories. I love it.
We're doing it.
Man. And if you're out there listening, well, she should be working, right? The day is still going on over there. She should be working. But, Sergeant Lydia Johnston, thank you so much for coming in here today and relaying that story of the combat medic, civilian side and service side. Because if you go read the story on DividsHub.net, you'll find out that her civilian side was in a pretty bad area, too. Pretty bad area. I was reading about the crime rates. Oh, here it is. Yeah. No, 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 no.
Oh.
Hey, hey, hey. I want to thank Nandis. How you doing?
I'm doing good.
Man, you guys got a lot of stuff. What's some of your pages again where they can find out your stuff?
Facebook.com/FortCampbell or on Twitter, we're at Fort Campbell, and you spell out Fort Campbell for both of those.
That's right. Stop being lazy, people. Spell out Fort. Stop being lazy, and stop asking Carla, Senior Airman Granite, what the weather's going to be like.
Use your apps.
Use your apps. Best apps in radio. Now
absolutely.
You got absolutely, absolutely.
You see what I did?
I like that. Absolutely. Matt Sergeant P. Mays, that was a good one. That was a good one.
I'm here all day.
I'm here. Tip your waitress, Carla. Thank you so much for coming in here representing the Air Force side of Fort Campbell, and showing that the military. Okay, even though we're going to beat the Navy tomorrow. Okay. But the military, we work with each other to get the mission done.
Absolutely.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Yeah, I mean, it's pretty much a joint operation no matter what you're doing anymore.
Right. whether it's overseas, in garrison, training, actual combat itself. We, the team, come together.
Until tomorrow.
Until tomorrow.
Yeah, tomorrow's a whole other story.
Yeah, tomorrow. Sorry, Navy. with your silly ships, okay? Only for tomorrow. And the other day, yes, Navy. Mr. Green, thank you.
Thank you, Joe.
And for your service, all right? And for your fallen brethren, we appreciate everything that you guys bring to the table and setting us up for success and the current soldiers of today, because the lineage that the 101st carries is amazing. It's proud. It's brave. I mean, and that's because of the ones who paved the way. And thank you. Thank you for it all. And we look forward to tomorrow's, where we're going to be telling the next week's, when we're telling the Bastogne story. Brave. Proud. I mean, it's tune in next week, because you're going to love it. It's historic. Thank you again. The panel. Round of applause. Yes.
Yay.
You guys rocked it. Don't go nowhere, because right next, the Joe Padula Show. WJZM 1400 AM. But thank you for listening to Rendezvous Radio. We'll catch you next week. Same time, same place. And yeah, absolutely. WJZM 1400 AM, 105.1 FM, WVRY. Absolutely.
Don't we go? Don't we?
Don't we go? Don't we go? Don't we go? Don't we?
Na 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 na. Na 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 na. Hey, 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 you're airborne.
Na 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 na.